Tonight, I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to talk about the I am statements. You know, there are a few things that you can kind of trick people up on if you wanted to. If I were to say, we'll have a lesson on the Beatitudes tonight, you would immediately think Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and blessed are the, you know, and you'd go down through those. But I might be talking about the Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. There are some statements in the book of Revelation that say, blessed are, and then you can finish it out. Tonight, if I were to just say, we're going to talk about the I am statements, you might think, oh, we're going to the book of John because Jesus made some I am statements. And if you have your outline from the back that we put back there, you might see I have them listed. The book of John is a really interesting book in the way it's laid out. There are some unique characteristics to it. Among those is just the fact that there are some sevens that are carried out throughout that book. There are seven miracles. Jesus did more than seven, but John records for us seven specific miracles that he performed. Then there are the seven I am statements that Jesus made. And, you know, just by way of reference, just real quickly, I won't go through all of them, but like, I am the bread of life. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. And he gave seven of those. Well, tonight, what I want us to do is I want us to go to the book of Romans, and there are three I am statements in the very first chapter that make a nice little outline from the Apostle Paul. And these I am statements applied to him. He said, these are things that I am, but listen, they ought to apply to us. These ought to be our I am statements. And as we go through this lesson and we listen and note those three I am statements of Paul, here's what I want you to be doing. I want you to be doing this. Am I that? Could I truthfully say I am these things? Paul could. Can I do it? And if you can't, then make some changes in your life or begin to set out and pursue those statements because they ought to be true in all of us. They were true of Paul. They should as well be true of us. Well, let's begin. And here's where we begin. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, or verse 14, to begin with. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Paul says, number one, I am a debtor. In what sense was Paul a debtor? Paul was a free man. He was a Roman citizen. He had privileges. And in what sense would he be considered a debtor to other people? He was a free man. Well, his debt was in the fact that he had been granted grace and mercy by God. He learned the gospel. He had someone, and God knew who he was and his character, and he reached out to him through a preacher by the name of Ananias, and Ananias told him what he needed to do to be saved. Acts chapter 9 and 16 and 22. So what we have is Paul saying, you know, man, God has been good to me. I've escaped myself. Do you know who I am? I'm the Apostle Paul. That's what Ananias said, or the persecutor Saul. Ananias said, how in the world, you sure, God, you want me to go preach to Saul of Tarsus? Are we talking about the same Saul, the guy that's been putting men and women in prison, Acts 8, verse 1, the man who stood at the feet, or who stood there and they cast the clothes at his feet as they stoned Stephen to death? Are you talking about the guy who has a letter from the high priest allowing him to go to other places to persecute the church? Are you talking about the man that cast his vote to the death of Christians? Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. I want you to go preach to him. And he did, and he told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. And he did just that. And it's because of who Paul was in that former life, I think, that he felt such a sense of indebtedness. Have you ever sat and wondered, where would I be today if it weren't for, and you fill in the blank, maybe it's somebody sitting in this auditorium right here that helped to bring you to Christ, or said something or got you thinking in the right kind of a way and brought you to the point where you are. It may have been your mom and dad. It may have been some preacher in some other congregation, but someone somewhere probably has influenced you to obey the gospel, and it's changed your life. Now, there's none of us that are sinless. And when you think about all the things that you've ever done wrong in your life, to have to stand before a holy God and give account, do you know how horrible that would be for God to say, and you did this, what do you have to say for yourself? You know, you don't want people to know about it. We try to sin in secret. We're worried about the respect that we have among our peers who are also sinners. Can you imagine standing before a holy and upright God and having to own up to everything you've ever done wrong? But that's what God offers in Jesus Christ, forgiveness. And Paul received that. He's a recipient of that. And so he said, you know, I'm a debtor. How can I not take the gospel to others when I have received it? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. There's no one worse than me, he said. And I've been forgiven. How can I then not tell others? You know, there's a commentary on that, and I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where the apostle says in verse 16, he said, you know, it's no great thing that I preach the gospel. I can't boast in that. You might want to hold me up, and that's what they were doing with some preachers in the book of 1 Corinthians. And he said, you might want to hold me up as some special guy, because I'm a preacher of the gospel. He said, there's no glory in that, nothing to boast about, because why? Necessity is laid upon me to preach. And there would be a woe upon me if I didn't preach, because how could I not preach when I have been the recipient of such good news in God's grace? Can I ask you to do something? I want to see if we can get a commitment. This is, I don't like to be manipulated, but I do want you to do this. If you know someone and they're still alive that has influenced you and made a difference in your life, will you just kind of halfway raise your hand? You know, does that apply to you? Let me ask you another question. If you raise your hand, have you ever, or when's the last time you said thank you to that person? Could I ask you all to go home tonight and to get on email or to get a snail mail, get a piece of paper and a pencil if you still do that, or whatever it is, pick up a telephone. Will you contact one of those people that made a difference in your life and say, you know, we were thinking today in church, and I am so indebted to you. And I just want you to know what a difference you have made in my life. And they have, and you'll make a difference in their life if you do that. Can I challenge you to do that? Don't let this slip through the cracks. Paul said, I'm indebted. I am a debtor to both Jew and Greek. It doesn't matter your background or anything. I just owe people my life because so much has been given to me. And I think we all should be able to say the same thing. There are folks who have influenced us for good, and they have made an eternal difference in your life. Tell them so. And live with that sense of indebtedness and obligation. Here's a second thing that Paul says. He says, number one, I'm a debtor. So should we be who have received so much. Second thing is, so as much as is in me, because he's a debtor, I am going to give everything I have. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Second I am statement, I'm ready to preach. That's kind of an interesting statement by Paul because he has a little bit of an advantage on us. Do you remember what the Lord said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 12? He promised the apostles that when they went and they stood before kings and when they went and stood and had to preach, that it would be given to them, the words that they would say would be given to them in that hour. They didn't have to prepare a sermon. They didn't have to go home and study and look up all the passages that are relevant and work up a sermon outline. It's not like the students in the school here and they're working on, you know, learning to preach. Matthew says, not only will I give you what to say, but I'll tell you how to say it. The what and the how would be provided. Man, you talk about, no wonder we might say he was prepared, he was ready to preach, because the what and the how was given to him. It's not given to us like that. We have to work for that. But listen, there was still a sense in which Paul is the same as us. You see, he may not have had to work up lessons like maybe we have to work up lessons today, but he did have to do this. He had to muster courage to speak. God never gave him that. And if you think that just because you know what you're going to say makes it easy to say it, well, you've not done much speaking, have you? It's a different thing to work and sit in your office or at the table at home and work up a good outline. Now, go present it. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. That'd be kind of scary. That gets me out of my comfort zone. Well, yeah, it does. But Paul said, I'm ready to preach. He had the words to speak, but he had to have and he had to muster within himself the courage to do so. And frequently he would ask the churches that he wrote letters to pray for him that he might have the boldness to say the things he needed to say. There's always that side of us that might just back off. You know, we'd like people to like us. We don't want negative things to come our way. We may soften the message just a little to stay alive. And Paul had to struggle with that. We, like Paul, need to be able to say, listen, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to teach the gospel. Are you? You know, I know that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we, or verse 18, that we ought to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says that we ought to be able to give an answer to everyone who asks why we have this hope within us. We don't have to know everything about the Bible, but there's some basics that we ought to be able to answer and be able to preach and teach others. Are you ready to do that? Do you have the Bible knowledge? Do you know what the Bible says about what a man must do to be saved? What a man must do to have this hope that we know, you know, I have every confidence that I'm going to heaven. Why? Because you want to sit down and listen to the verses? Because I can give you the verses. Do we have that? Are we ready to preach the gospel? And not only that, but are we ready to be courageous? What if it means you lose your friends? What if it means that people will make fun of you and ridicule you? Have you lived long enough to realize that Christianity kind of runs counterculture? I don't know that we'll ever be in vogue. I don't think that there's ever going to be a time when Christianity is like, oh, the world loves us. You know, everybody wants to be a Christian. Because what Jesus calls us to be goes against that desire to sin. And it condemns the things that people do. And I don't think there will ever be a time where taking a strong Christian position and speaking in the name of Jesus will be received well generally by the world. We're always going to be on the outside there. The world is going to be the world, but we have to be Christians. Do you have the courage to speak for the Lord? You know, I can go to the barbershop, which obviously I did. You know, my hair's kind of short today, but I can sit in a barbershop and you want to start talking football and the Steelers and Roethlisberger being hurt and Maybe somebody knows the score of the Steeler game right now. I don't know. If you do, shame on you. You shouldn't be watching that. But tell me. Just hold your fingers up or something. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But anyway, you know, I'll argue with people. I'll defend my team. I don't even know people, and I'll defend. I think enough about them that I'll talk about it. And then when we get to the topic of Jesus, man, we just clam up. I'm not going to, they said something different. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going there. Why would we have the boldness to speak in favor of a football team and not the Lord who gave his life for us? Paul said, I'm a debtor and I'm ready to preach. So should we be. And here's the third point and the final point in verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I wish more people who claim and say they wear the name of Jesus would not be so ashamed of him. I know there are people that, oh, I love Jesus. But let's now talk about what Jesus said. And all of a sudden we start back and, well, I don't like that. There are people who say they love Jesus, but they hate the things Jesus said. If that's the case, you don't love Jesus. In Mark 8 and verse 38, Jesus said, you know, if you're ashamed of me and my words. See, we like the person of Jesus because he's the guy that went to the cross for us and stretched out his arms and was nailed, and through the shedding of his blood, we had the forgiveness of sins. That I like. I like Jesus. Look what he did for me. But Mark said, not only should you not be ashamed of me, but you can't be ashamed of my words either. Well, what you mean like what he teaches on marriage and divorce? You mean what he teaches about church discipline? Do you mean what he teaches? See, we can just go right on down the line. What Jesus had to say runs counter to the way a lot of people live. And I have to be of the mind that, you know, I like you, but you're not going to determine what I stand for and what I preach and what I teach is right. That I have a greater love for Jesus and his word than the opinions of men and the praise of men. Do we have that in us? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's nothing that Jesus has ever asked any of us to do that was wrong, that is poor thinking, that results in the wrong thing other than good being the end of it. Everything that Jesus has ever asked us to do, everything that he has ever done, is right and good. Why would I ever be ashamed of that? Now, I know that people don't like everything Jesus has done and taught, but there's no reason to be ashamed because it's right and it's good. So as Paul begins this book to the Romans, he shares with us, just as Jesus shared, here are seven things that I am. Paul said, well, I'll give you three things that I am. He said, I'm a debtor and I'm ready to preach. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here's my question. And as we've gone through this, I hope that you have been weighing this. But as we come to the end of this lesson, here's what I want you to answer. Those three things that Paul said, are they true of you? Can you say, I stand right there with Paul. I feel indebted. In fact, I'm going to go home and tell some folks that I really am indebted to you because you have made a difference in my life. If you need to do that, do that. Don't let that slip. I challenge you to do that. I recognize I'm a debtor, and you know, I'm ready to preach. I'm going to go out and talk to people about Jesus. This is good news, and how can I, who have received this good news, not share it with others? I'm right there with Paul, and I'm ready to preach. And I'm also ready, And I just forgot the third point. Have you ever gone blank? But I'm also ready. Thank you. Who's running the sound room tonight? We want him back there more often. But I'm also not ashamed of the gospel. And we need to have that determinate. Don't let people back you off of truth. And if you do, Jesus said, listen, I'll be ashamed of you. You're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So live up to these things. And if you see room for improvement in your lives, well, then make it. Maybe you need to just step up. You're a new Christian and you say, you know, those are things I want to work toward and I want to do better at. And so start doing that. And there may be some of us who have been longtime Christians and we're not there. Maybe we need to repent and say, God, I've failed. I need to be those things and I want to begin today. If you're here this evening and not yet a Christian, if you're here this evening and you are a Christian but you haven't been faithful, we'll pray with you or we'll baptize you into Christ.